Welcome everyone to the Kanto Cast. I'm Tristan.
I'm Jeff.
And come on into the casino because we're about to talk all things Star Wars and geek.
So grab a blue milk.
And get some Wampa Jerky.
Pull up with your favorite Tauntaun.
Because we are about to get things started.
You may want to buckle up, baby.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Kanto Cast. I'm Tristan.
I'm Jeff.
And today, there is a lot to talk about. There has been Star Wars a ton in the headlines recently. Some great stuff, some not good stuff. We are recording this on November 29th. That is a Sunday morning, just kind of a few hours after we had learned about the passing of Dave Prowse, who was the man behind the mask for Vader. And he unfortunately passed away at 85 years of age. Jeff, what is your kind of first reaction to that whenever you heard the news this morning?
Now, like I said, we were talking before we started recording, and I said, you never really expect to hear stuff like this. But yeah, he was up there in age, and I know his health was declining, but it wasn't something I expected to see this morning. And when I saw it, kind of shocked me a little bit. Of course, it saddened me, brought a tear to my eye, because that's another big name in Star Wars that we've lost.
Yep.
We've lost Peter Mayhew. We've lost Carrie Fisher. I mean, Kenny Baker. And now we're losing the man that made Darth Vader so intimidating. Yes, James Earl Jones was the voice, and his voice was intimidating thanks to James Earl Jones, but the visual and the mystique and the intimidation of Darth Vader was brought to life by David Prowse. And
right,
yes, there's been stories about, you know, hey, he wasn't that great of a person, this and that, but I forget the name of the documentary, but there's a documentary out there all about David Prowse, and you'll hear his side of the story in this documentary, and you'll hear the other side of the story as well. But
yeah,
there is some things that I feel he was done wrong in, and one of those is I believe he should have been told, instead of sitting there in the movie theater and all of a sudden Darth Vader comes on screen and you hear that voice come out for the first time and he's sitting there going, that's not me.
Yeah.
Why say all that stuff? Stuff like that, I don't think that was right to do to him. He should have been prepared for that. He had every right to be upset with Lucasfilm for that. And yeah, there were other things that I'm like a little iffy on, but overall, it is a sad day, and he deserved props for being a part of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, and it really is. It is sad, you know, that absolutely. And, you know, someone who obviously was able to bring the visual, you know, part of Vader to life and gave Vader his iconic presence, you can say, you know, how he just kind of menacingly towers over everyone, you know, that he comes across. So, you know, just doing that alone, I think, just straight up doing the job like that, it's just a huge, huge amount of, you know, thankfulness for him to really just, yeah, bring that visual character to life. It's always really sad. There's been other, you know, figures and people and, you know, in relation to Star Wars that have passed away that maybe didn't get along great with others. Kenny Baker, another one that reminds me, like, him and Anthony Daniels, from what I hear, never saw eye to eye.
I really don't know the history of that story right there. So what is it? Unfortunately, are we going to have to wait for Mr. Daniels to pass away to get that full story to come to light? Because you hear both sides of that story and you're like, well, Kenny was right with this, but Anthony was right on this.
Right, so, right.
Yeah, and some people just don't get along.
Yeah, that's true. I think at the end of the day, you know, we're all humans. Not everyone, like you said, is going to get along. People are going to have, you know, issues with one another. People are going to get into, you know, disagreements or arguments. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's what's more important, you know, is kind of, you know, being able to see past that and like celebrate someone's life and what they accomplish as an individual.
Right.
You know, especially because, you know, with none of these, like, no one necessarily did anything malicious towards, like, you know, the human race, right? Like, these aren't just evil people at all, you know, so there's no reason to necessarily, you know, to carry, you know, carry your disdain for someone to the grave or to their grave in this situation. Right. And so, yeah, that's kind of my
take. Yeah, I remember when Kenny Baker passed away, I do remember Anthony Daniels actually had some very kind words to say about him when he passed away. He didn't go, oh, good riddance to him.
Right.
Of course not. Because my opinion is their feud was probably over something and, well, a couple of things that are probably were very petty.
Right.
So you just can't hold, I think, grudges. Like most people, I think, hold petty stuff over each other, so...
Yeah, they do. They and yeah, you're absolutely right in saying that. You know, I would say probably 95% of disagreements, maybe with the Star Wars cast, and just between people in general. You know, it's just really petty stuff that I think eventually, you know, I like to believe that at least one person, if not both, are willing to, you know, just completely toss it out like it should be. You know, right. Like. Petty stuff, in my opinion, could be able just to be dropped at the snap of a finger, you know, because I mean, that's what it is. It's petty, right? It's not important. Yeah. It's small. It's dumb. the list goes on and on. So, yeah, that's also a really good thing to keep in mind, too. Lessons we can learn from, like, you know, like you said, Anthony Daniels had very good words to say about him at the end of the day when it actually matters. And that's what we can take away when celebrating, you know, someone's life.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so... Rest in peace, Darth Vader. And you brought the mystique and the aura of Darth Vader to life, and you will be missed.
Yes. Yes, he will be. Absolutely. So, with that being said, and moving on from that topic, we have a lot more fun things, of course, we can talk about. One of which, and I don't even know which one we get into first, but you want to talk about Mando Episode 13 next? That really is the big, big one.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I would say so. So there was a lot. There was a lot, you know, out of Mando Episode 13. But before we get into specifics, as the overall episode, what were your thoughts on it?
The overall episode actually had me wowed from the very beginning. I think just saying this before we, like you say, getting the you know, specifics and stuff, naming the episode The Jedi, I think kind of told everybody what was coming.
Yep.
So having said that, I didn't expect it to be right at the top of the show.
Yeah.
That kind of shocked me. And as the show went on, kind of told me, wait a minute, they didn't wait till the middle of the show or the end of the show to do this. So there has to be something else in this episode that's going to floor us. And yes, there was at the very end. And of course, we'll talk about that when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was like I said, I don't think I've seen a bad episode this season.
Yeah.
Wow. They just keep giving us this stuff. And people, like you said before about the fan service, still, they're doing it right. They're not slapping you in the face with it. They're not giving you a bunch of exposition on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, here's this person. If you know him, great. If you don't, it's just like a new character to you.
Exactly.
And actually, we were talking before we started recording, and you have a story about that with your parents that you can share along that same line.
Yeah. Yeah. My... Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So my parents have not seen Rebels or Clone Wars. And I think a lot of people, too, are in that same boat. At least, you know, at least part of my, you know, folks like my parents who don't necessarily watch or, you know, consume every piece of, like, you know, Star Wars content that comes out. You know, they don't watch every show. They haven't really seen any animated shows, now that I think about it. They, you know, have just really seen the big stuff. And Mandalorian, right, obviously, being probably the biggest thing overall to happen since Episode 9 came out. It really is kind of... it, to me, what really, I guess, proves how well, like, they're using these characters with, like, Bo-Katan and Ahsoka and whoever else we might see. There was also a big name dropped at the end, like you said, which we'll get to later. But the fact that they are, you know, kind of understanding how these characters work and like, and they're able to like them when they're completely, you know, new to them, I think shows that, hey, they're writing these characters in as like very, they're doing it very well. You know, if someone who has no idea who these people are watches The Mandalorian and thinks that they're good characters on their own from The Mandalorian, I think that's plenty of testimony to say that, you know, they're not taking a super fan service-esque approach. You know, they're doing a very good job, you know, writing these characters in, giving them very valid reasons to be in the show, you know, connecting everything, you know, really well for like what they're doing. And yeah, like my parents who have not seen any of these characters from Clone Wars and Rebels, but are still really liking Mando Season 2. I think it really goes to show how well done it is.
Yeah. It, oh my goodness. Like I said, this episode, right from the top, I think we all knew what was coming this weekend, but we were all still excited to see it. How would she look? How would she sound?
Right. And
I said it, I talked about it a little bit on my Blue Mill Cafe episode yesterday, but I love Rosario Dawson. I think she did a great job getting the look down. Then again, you had Dave Filoni that wrote this episode and directed it, so you knew he wasn't going to screw around.
Right.
That Ahsoka's his baby.
Right.
So her look was awesome. Her choreography was down pat. I think if you put some of her moves up again, like side by side from the Clone Wars or Rebels,
yeah,
it looks very good. I mean, when she twirled her sabers around like she did there at the beginning, I was like, oh my god, yes, that's Ahsoka.
Right.
And she sounded pretty well. She sounded like a little older Ahsoka would have sounded.
Yeah, yeah. But I think
I really like Ashley Eckstein, and I still think, you know, this is just my fantasy. I have no problem how it came out. I'm very happy how it came out.
Uh-huh.
But if they had her, like, doing the voiceover for Ahsoka, I think that would have been, like, the best. But, you know, you don't want to, like, you don't want the David Prowse situation.
Right, right.
You don't want that to take that away from Rosario. So she did a great job bringing Ahsoka to life. And like I said, I did not expect that right at the beginning. I was like, oh my god, right when I saw those lightsabers shoot up from the bottom of the screen, I was like, oh, you're giving it to us right now. I'm like, okay. And yeah, and also when they said the forest planet, when we saw that planet, I'm like, that's not a forest, that's a dead forest.
Yeah,
that planet looked rough.
Yeah, so, it did.
And we find out why. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't even think they said who those people were that took over that village.
Yeah, yeah, the village was kind of a, I wouldn't say an afterthought, but obviously, like, with everything else going on, they probably just didn't have time to really get in depth about the village and what it was, right, and who was in it. Because, I mean, I kind of just figured that the villagers were basically being, they were probably there already. And then, you know, whenever Thrawn's, I'll throw the name out there, whenever Thrawn's, you know, underlings were, you know, I guess they're now trying to kind of stitch together what's left of the Empire. They're probably going to be taking advantage of these small villages that they can for its resources, right, and labor. So the villagers were probably just turned into slaves, essentially.
Yeah, it looked like it. Because
yeah,
they wouldn't even let the Mando talk to them.
Right.
The old magistrate, which we find out he was the old magistrate before they took him over,
uh-huh,
he was trying to tell him, don't talk to us, you can't talk to us. Because right when he started talking to him, those guards came up behind him and took him to the magistrate.
Yep.
So, yep. And I think we know where she got that Beskar spear from now. She got it from her master, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves to collect antiquities, as we know. Mm-hmm. Thrawn does.
Yep. Yeah.
Like you said, we're just throwing the name out there now, because if you haven't seen the episode yet, you've listened this far, you just spoiled yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, when Ahsoka was asking her about her master, before we get the reveal of who her master is, I was starting to think, because when I hear master, I think Jedi. I was like, is she a Force wielder? Was she an ex-Jedi too? Because she's asking her about her master. So I'm right. Trying to think who her master could be. And then all of a sudden I was like, no, wait a minute. Maybe she's just a, you know, an old Imperial that's trying to bring the Empire back with all these little, you know, cells and stuff. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, oh, maybe her master's, you know, Moff Gideon.
Right.
And we know about Moff Gideon. That's probably who her master is. But with me thinking that, made the reveal when Ahsoka said, now where's your master? Where's Grand Admiral Thrawn? When she said that, my jaw hit the floor.
Yeah.
I was like, are we going to actually see the blue man in the Mando before? Because I really do think, dropping an information like that, I really do think we're going to get an Ahsoka series of her Thrawn.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, when's the last time we saw Ahsoka? She was with Sabine. They were heading out to find Thrawn and Ezra in the Unknown Regions. Mm-hmm. So, could she be on the trail? Could she be on a separate trail and Sabine's on a different trail?
Right.
Not together, but they weren't together.
Yeah. There is a lot, you know, we can think from this. And that is exactly my line of reasoning into why I think it's likely we'll get a Ahsoka spinoff. And it looks like they're setting that up to be a live action spinoff as well, you know, from obviously given her live action appearance.
And I think one of my other buddies that he does the Tumbling Saber podcast, he commented on one of my tweets or posts on Facebook when I was saying I'm hoping for an Ahsoka spinoff. He said, you don't hire a big name like Rosario Dawson just for one episode. So I was like, oh, that makes me feel better. He's right. If they're going to say, hey, you want to play Ahsoka? And then after she does it, oh, that was just for that one episode. You're good. You can go.
No. Yeah, I mean, I
think they're bringing it back.
I would say, you know, a big name in tandem with a big character, right? Because, like, Bill Burr came on for one episode, and that was awesome while it lasted, right? But, like, we probably won't see more of him, as fun as it was, you know? And I think that was Chapter 6 is when he was...
Yeah, the prisoner.
One of my favorite episodes of the entire first season. But anyways, yeah, when I completely understand, you know, where y'all are going with that. You don't bring in a big person to play a big character like that and then just leave it as a one-off, you know? Like, that is very much, I think, heavily hinting at something else coming up. And, yeah, with that being said, I really do think it's going to happen, especially... And then dropping Thrawn, too, like... It just everything is pointing at their, you know, a spinoff, right? Like you can't tease us like that. That's just cruel, right. You know, if you're not going to do anything.
You have to have an Ahsoka, Thrawn, Sabine spinoff. You know, you just can't have to do it.
And
Ezra spinoff too. I mean, if they're searching for Thrawn and they're together,
right? Yeah,
you're going to see a live action Ezra and. Then the speculation started flying because I saw people making tweets right away on Friday night saying, who do you think's going to play Thrawn? Who do you think's going to be playing Ezra? Who do you think's going to be playing Sabine? And all that stuff. And I think Thrawn, though, is the most fun one to play around with to see who plays him, because in my opinion, I think Sabine and Ezra, you could get the actual voice actors that played them to play them in live action, because they're the right age. You can age them up a bit too if you had to.
Yeah.
But there are also screen actors that did their voices, so they can jump on the screen and I think be really good at it. But
yeah,
those were my opinions. But for Thrawn, I really would like to see Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ooh, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Very good Thrawn.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a...
Smooth talking and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think he would be good.
Yeah, that would be a really good proposition. There's a lot, obviously, that, you know, you could play around with that.
Yeah.
And to go into like that spinoff, you know, I would really be curious to see how that, if it does at all, ties into anything that's going on with the First Order. And because like I really haven't read or watched much of the stuff like that kind of explains or goes into depth about the First Order, so I'm still pretty fuzzy on it, like its creation and who was behind it and how it got started. But right. You know, I do kind of speculate, what if Thrawn had a hand in, you know, starting the First Order? What if he found or somehow got, you know, it was in contact with Snoke about things?
Right.
Well, or I guess that'd be Palpatine, right? Because I guess Snoke was
a marionette.
Yeah, he was just basically a puppet. So was Thrawn, was he going after, did he know where Palpatine's spirit, you know, would have been? Like, did he know what Palpatine's plan, you know, would have been? So,
did he know where Exegol, was he there?
Exactly. Like, maybe Thrawn was kind of the messenger, the courier. Like, he was kind of the person that was helping Palpatine, you know, get things started. And that would be really interesting to see, you know, Ahsoka, Sabine, and Ezra kind of maybe figure that out and then ultimately try to stop it. I guess, you know, spoiler alert, episode 7, 8, 9 happens, so we know that the First Order kind of, you know, possibly wins.
Right.
But, yeah, it'd be really, really interesting to see, you know, how that would play out in a spinoff series.
Yeah. And I mean, I would love to see something like that. But yeah, getting back to the recent episode here, Mandalorian.
Yep. The Jedi, yeah.
The one scenes that I really loved were the simultaneous, well, Mando and the head of security standoff outside of the gate. Ahsoka and the magistrate were fighting inside in her little garden there. That looked beautiful.
Yeah.
So they were fighting inside while they were standing outside just having a standoff. And it was kind of funny when you hear him fighting from the outside and the guy was like, he goes, well, when you hear the spear drop, he was like, well, sounds like you win.
I
knew Mando wasn't gonna let, I knew he was gonna try to get the drop on Mando when he was slowly lowering his rifle. He was gonna try to shoot him,
right?
But yeah, that, like I said, I have not seen a bad episode yet, and I really do think we might get a glimpse of Thrawn in the Mandalorian. I'm not saying it's going to be this season, but towards like maybe the end of the series, we might see him just to set up the spinoff.
Right.
Because I think we will see Ahsoka again at some point. I think they may even introduce Sabine at some point to, you know, bring her into the Ahsoka spinoff.
Right.
Because I totally expected when Mando and Ahsoka were taking the village, I was totally expecting either Bo-Katan's group to show up to help or Sabine to pop out of somewhere and help.
Yeah.
I was totally expecting that, and none of that happened, which actually kind of made me happy, too, that it was just those two that were able to do it. So.
Yeah. It really be interesting to see.
I just remembered. We don't have to call him the child or Baby Yoda anymore. We got
Yeah, Baby Yoda has been officially named
Grogu. I was
some people aren't happy about that.
I don't know why. It's a strange name.
Sure. I mean, but is it any stranger than Yoda?
Right. But I was, when that scene happened, I'm sitting here, and when she looked at him and said that, I didn't think I heard anything right, and I looked at my wife, and I'm like, what did she just call him? And my wife's like, Grogu. I'm like, we got his name? I'm like, holy crap, we got his name. And then Because every time, then when the Mando repeated it, the way he looked at Mando like a puppy, it's like, ooh, you know my name.
Yeah. So,
and of course, right after we got his name, I'm sitting there going, are we going to get his species? Are we going to get his species? Are we going to get his species?
Right.
Of course, no. She said the only other one I've seen of his kind is Yoda.
Right.
So I was like, damn. But
which?
At least we got his name.
We got his name. And yeah, when Ahsoka said that, I was like, or I kind of, my first reaction was, so she never knew Yaddle.
No, I guess she never met Yaddle. And Yaddle was on the council, wasn't she?
Yeah, which is, well, she was in the council, I know for sure, during episode one, right? Because that's when she made her first appearance.
And then I don't think we saw her in two or three.
Was she on the council? Yeah, during two or three.
Or did
I don't
she
know.
Lose her life behind the scenes? We just didn't know.
Can Jedi? I think Jedi can also leave the council as well, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they could just, you know, leave honorably. Mm-hmm. Say, I'm putting in my resignation or something like that.
Yeah, or I just don't want to be part of the council anymore. I feel like that's someone else's responsibility now, or, you know, something like that. So, Yaddle just kind of quietly left behind the scenes, whether it was death or just leaving the council or what have you, because obviously Ahsoka knew the, you know, the
Yoda.
Yeah, so with that being said,
I'm sorry I took you off your train of thought.
No, it's all good. She doesn't know anything more about the species other than that Grogu and Yoda were the only ones of their kind that they knew of.
Yeah. I just think that was cool that they were talking to each other through the Force. That was really awesome.
Right. And obviously you can tell that Grogu has been severely traumatized by his past.
Right.
And because of that, he really only feels safe, you could say, around Mando. And basically, there's going to be this really interesting dynamic, because you can tell that Mando really, really wants Grogu to get, like, his training right, to become, like, you know, a Jedi, essentially. And it's going to be weird to have him basically, him training, not Mando training Grogu, but basically having a non-Force user as some sort of master or caregiver, right? Like, that's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out.
Yep. And my wife did bring up a pretty good point, though, and I really didn't think of it until after the show, and this episode here actually spawned my wife to go back and start watching the entire Rebel series again. Because she didn't remember how Ahsoka was brought back. She thought Vader had killed her in that fight in Rebels. And I was like, well, don't you remember? I said, Ezra pulled her out. And she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, in The World Between Worlds. I said, you don't remember that? She was like, no. I said, go back and watch it. And so she did. She's starting to watch the series again. But yeah, she brought up a good point, though. She was like, because she's got up to the episode where Ahsoka had claimed, I'm no Jedi. She was watching the battle of her and Vader, and when she told Vader, I'm no Jedi, she was like, then why would she want to train Grogu if she's not a Jedi anymore?
Right.
I'm like, true, I've never thought of that, but maybe she could show him the ways of the Force. She doesn't necessarily have to train him to be a Jedi. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's 50 years of his life, and something bad happened to him between the time he was at the temple and when he left, because everything's black after that. They don't know. Can't remember what happened. So that's the mystery there of, you know, what happened between that time, between then and when, of course, Mando was hired to capture him as a bounty.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just getting really, we're only in season two, and it's getting really, really intriguing and deep. So I think this can go on for a couple more seasons, especially with only 8 episode seasons. So, yeah, you can get maybe 2 or 3 more seasons out of this if they wanted to.
Yeah, there really is, yeah, a lot, I think, still to play out. I think that, you know, Moff Gideon is probably going to be the next, besides obviously figuring out Grogu's future. Yeah, the Moff Gideon story, I think, is going to be huge, especially if he's still trying to capture Grogu.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot left to you know, tell with that. So, and I think, hasn't season 4, has that been confirmed?
I know season 3 has.
Okay, I know season 3 has.
I think, I'm not sure, soon after that they said, oh, season 3 and 4, but I know for sure 3 has been confirmed. Because Favreau was talking about, oh, he doesn't think that the filming of season 3 is going to be delayed. So, and when I heard that, I'm like, oh, so is that a confirmation of season 3 is happening? Because he just came out and said, because he was asked if any more filming delays are expected. And he goes, no, I think season 3 will start filming on time. So, that's how I found out it was confirmed, with him saying that.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, there's a lot that could happen. And yeah, that Darksaber too.
Yeah.
That Darksaber, I really do think we're going to see it in action probably on the finale of season 2, if I'm going to make any predictions.
Yeah, we need to see a Bo-Katan taking on Gideon.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
Gideon.
What would she fight him with if she doesn't have anything to use? I mean, there's the Beskar staff that Mando has, right?
Yeah, Mando got that. Ahsoka handed him that staff. I think he might give that to Bo-Katan and say, here, use this.
Yeah, that's true. Unless if Mando wants the Darksaber for himself and then becomes a rival to Bo-Katan.
That could be interesting, too. But then again, maybe he doesn't even know the story of the Darksaber.
That's true. He probably doesn't if he's been in, you know, the kind of cultish orthodox,
right? Once type of... the old school stuff and
right,
because what Death Watch was, they're the ones that I believe, yeah, they're the ones that had the saber. So, but yeah, he was. His cult was called the Watch, and I think. Of course, with Death Watch, I think that was a totally different sect that was actually out to break up the cult known as the Watch. So,
yeah,
with Death Watch, it just makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. We're slowly getting more pieces of the puzzle about, you know, everything from the Mandalorians to, you know, the post Empire, you know, era between, you know, 6 and 7. Right. It really is kind of just giving us little nuggets of golden information, I'll say.
Yeah.
And we just learn a little bit more, it seems, each episode. So it's really great. And then, of course, the New Republic has also been shown in bits and pieces as well. Yeah. So that also is a huge thing to take into consideration as well.
Yeah, because I remember that being a big deal back in season 1 when the Mando started. I think we already talked about this once before, I think. Where we saw that little scene there with the armor and Din Djarin and the rest of the culvert down there in the where they were forging the armor, and she was saying, you know, she's breaking up that fight between the two. She asked him, "Have you ever removed your helmet? Have you ever removed your helmet in front of anyone?" And he said, "No." And she said, "This is a way." And I'm like, you know, I think we're all sitting there going, since when can't they remove their helmets? Mm-hmm. We've seen Sabine do it. We've seen Pre Vizsla do it. We've seen, you know, we've seen all these Mandos on these different shows just taking off their helmets willy-nilly. We've seen Bo-Katan do it.
Right.
It's like, when is this a thing? And that's when everybody started thinking, well, maybe this is just their little family or their clan, I think, as they call them. Maybe this is just a part of their clan that they can't take off their helmets. So
right.
That's Yeah, that just like threw me back in season one when that was said. I'm like, wait a minute. Sabine took hers off all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, since when? So, yeah. But yeah, I was like, oh, these guys must be really old school or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So going back to my childhood, other than Boba Fett, never seen Boba Fett take his off. But then again, Boba Fett wasn't a Mandalorian. So,
yeah, that's true.
I guess he was just protecting his identity, being a bounty. So,
yeah, basically. And, you know, Mandalorian armor, as we've seen, is pretty handy in combat, too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You can take a shot basically directly at the chest and just brush it off.
And
so,
as my wife pointed out, I just found out in this past episode, Beskar, you can't even cut through Beskar with a lightsaber.
Right.
I mean, when he put his arm up like that to block her lightsaber, I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
He's going to lose his arm. But no, it just bounced right. I'm like, holy crap.
Yep.
So I was like, I guess there is something that lightsaber can't cut through.
I also laughed too when Mando called, Ahsoka's lightsabers laser swords.
Yeah.
He had no idea what they actually were. And I think Ahsoka even kind of smirked whenever he said that.
Yeah.
Like, she almost like laughed.
I think this is his first time running across a Jedi.
I think so. Which would make perfectly good sense given the time that he's been alive for.
Yeah, and I think he just heard about him when the armor mentioned him when she goes, a sorcerer is known as Jedi.
Right.
Or once had him, and he was like, that's the first time I think he's heard of him.
Yep.
So, and yeah. I mean, yeah, and when he said laser sword, it also took me back to the moment in The Last Jedi where Luke said, because do you expect me to walk out there with a laser sword and take on the First Order? Even he referred to it as a laser sword at that moment, I think just to be, you know, sarcastic.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was awesome. And I like how they kept her sabers white. They didn't give him color because she's still not technically a Jedi.
Right.
So she just has the pure white lightsabers. And the one thing I did notice at the end during her fight that I told my wife, I said, I hope she went back and got that, was she lost her one saber at the bottom of that little pond there.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she did.
I was telling my wife, I'm like, during the fight, I'm like, why don't she just, like, use the Force and call that lightsaber back to her?
Yeah.
But, oh, well. I was like, I hope she got that one back because that was her bigger one. She lost her long sword. She didn't lose her short one. So.
Yep. It will be, it'll be really interesting to see if, you know, she does come around in the end of season, you know, two, or what happens. I mean, there's, what, 3 chapters left?
Yeah, only 3, I think. This is
only
the
3.
Yeah, they started at 9, chapter 9 this season.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yep, a few more.
That's crazy that we're over halfway done.
Yeah, it's kind of sad too because we're like, oh, then we're gonna have to wait how many more months for another season?
Yeah.
But yep. It was confirmed. I don't know if you saw it that the gallery docuseries that they had for the first season of Mandalorian, they are having one for season 2 that I believe starts on Christmas Day.
Yeah. No, I did see that actually.
So. We'll have that to tie us over. Plus, like I said, I don't know, a couple episodes ago, that WandaVision starts in early January.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it starts.
So we'll have that too to hopefully tie us to take us up to season 3. So like I said, I don't know when season 3 is supposed to start, and if they were asking Favreau if it was going to be delayed in filming, seems to tell me that they plan to start filming very soon, if not already, and we just don't know about it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm just hoping it's not too much longer. I'm hoping it's in October again that it premieres, so we don't have that much Yeah, we'll have the summer to wait out, but we've done it before. And at least we're not with 3 years between movies anymore, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, we've gotten one season a year. I don't know if that's, gonna stay the same. It'd be nice if it was, that's for sure. Yeah. I think at this point, it really is nice to have, like, Mando in the falls. It's, I'd be great to see that turn into a tradition until, you know, the show ends, but.
Yeah, because I think the first season premiered in October sometime, and this season two premiered in October, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, this season, I think, didn't it premiere on, No, Halloween was a Saturday. Yeah, it premiered on the 30th, day before Halloween.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if they continue to do that, that'll be like, when Halloween time starts to come, you could expect a new season of Mando.
Yep. We'll see. I guess time will tell. And I've not heard anything, too, recently, speaking of shows coming out. I've not heard anything about Cassian, but the Cassian Andor show. So.
No, I've heard bits and pieces of the Obi-Wan series, but nothing about Cassian.
Yeah.
Might have to look that up later.
I'll see if anything you can dig into, and who knows, maybe they'll release some news in early 2021, or, you know, who knows what's gonna go on with that, but I'm definitely looking forward to just hearing more about it, maybe sometime in 2021 getting a trailer, if that's gonna be around the right timeline, that'd be awesome. I don't know if I'd expect it for Kenobi, just because it feels like that's a ways out still.
Yeah.
But that's also something to look forward to, in the future, once Mandalorian comes to a close.
Yeah, because there's so much, I think, Star Wars content that's going to be coming to Disney Plus in the very near future that I don't think we're going to be without something new to watch. Like all year, I think they'll strategically place them where at the most we might have to wait a month for something new from Star Wars. But other than that, we're gonna have something new of Star Wars on Disney Plus, you know, all year long for a long time. So, because this year we've gotten The Mandalorian, we've gotten the Lego Holiday Special, now this talk about, I think a lot of people think it's definitely going to happen, that Ahsoka spinoff. So, never know. Like, I would love a Bo-Katan spinoff too, but maybe they can just, like, throw her in the Ahsoka one. Because her and Ahsoka have teamed up before in the past. We saw it during the last season of the Clone Wars. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, just throw her there in the Ahsoka series. That way you won't have to spend the money to make a whole separate series.
Yeah.
But I just think there's going to be a lot of good stuff coming in the future, and we're not going to be disappointed, hopefully.
Not at all. Not at all. In between, there's also, and this is kind of branching out from shows, but you got the Jedi Fallen Order sequel coming out, or the next one, whichever. I don't know. No one really knows what it's going to be, but there's going to be another one, coming out.
Right.
Really looking forward to that, of course. And that's really. That's the big stuff we have. And I'd say, for Star Wars, as for itself, in the year, everything else set aside, it seemed to be a pretty decent year for what we got.
Yeah.
With Clone Wars and Mando.
Yeah, 2020 pretty much blew, but
for Star Wars
fans, we can get a little escapism for ourselves with all the good stuff we've gotten on Disney Plus this year.
Yep.
And like I said, more is to come. Like I said before, I think the gallery docuseries is supposed to premiere for season 2 on Christmas Day or something like that. So there's a Christmas present for us. Another Christmas present for us is that dropping on that day. So, just can't wait.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's really about all I got for Star Wars. There's obviously a lot of great stuff that happened, and, you know, I'm just looking forward to seeing the direction that Mando goes in the future. And that's about all I can say at this point.
Yeah. A lot of speculation, like I said, going on right now about a lot of people are wanting to know your thoughts of who are they going to cast as, you know, Thrawn and stuff like that. And if you like, you know, having fun with speculation like that, I mean, follow any number of Star Wars podcasts on Twitter and you'll see all that fun stuff there. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I said, I wouldn't like Cumberbatch, but there are also a lot of other people that I could see in that role as well.
Yeah. There, yeah. I mean, that would be a really good choice. Honestly, I couldn't think of anyone better than that. So that would be much welcomed, I think, pretty much universally.
Yeah, but because he already, you know, Disney's already worked with him. I mean, Doctor Strange, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that would be, you know, shocking to some people that are also Marvel fans going, wait a minute, Doctor Strange is a good person. But, you know, he's an actor. He'll be able to pull it off.
Yeah, yeah, he will. He will.
He has range. Plus, like, he's played some bad guys in the past, so.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that would be excellent. And, yeah, we'll check today as time will tell on any other person that, you know, comes into the fray, whether it be through the Ahsoka, the you know, rumored Ahsoka spinoff series, or the, yeah, for Mando.
Yeah.
Of course. So, with that, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about?
Actually, yeah, there is actually. It's not, you know, yes, it's a little bit of sports news here, people. I'm sorry. But, I just saw it this weekend, and I think it was awesome that this happened, and in my opinion, long overdue. But I'm not sure if anybody else that follows college football saw this story. But this past weekend, yesterday actually, Sarah Fuller of Vanderbilt, she made history by becoming the first female to play college football.
Yeah.
So I thought that was awesome. Long overdue. And yet she's a kicker. She's also the goalie of Vanderbilt's women's soccer team.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was awesome to see. And I know I saw all the awesome tweets about her, and I've even made a couple myself about her this weekend. But of course, I also saw the male chauvinist side of it, where they're making their hate tweets about it, saying
yeah,
it was
that's
a publicity stunt. You should be on the football team for your ability, not your gender. And I'm like, that's how she got to be asked to be on there, because if they go back and watch a video, they show a video of her practicing for weeks with the football team.
Yeah.
And at the end of that series of practices, the coach said, congratulations, you're on the team. But
yeah,
that's not what they see. They see publicity stunts, so. But I don't know. I guess I'm just a sucker for it.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the news, because I didn't know like she was on the team originally, so when I saw the news that she would be the first female to participate like a Power 5 college football game, I thought it was really cool. And like you said, it seems she got there completely on merit to begin with, so like there really shouldn't be much of a question, if at all, really, none, to really question her being there in the first place. I also got a kick, too, for lack of a better word. Yeah, it's kind of no pun intended, but I got a chuckle because someone made the comment that between, you know, everyone on Missouri's team and even everyone on Vanderbilt's team, she was the only one there with a national championship.
Right, she was.
So
the soccer team.
Right, which is kind of funny, right? It's like, so she's the only champion out of all of them, you know? So,
and
I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
But.
And I was watching the little video highlight they had of it. posted all over social media. And I guess it sounded like there were people in the stands there at the game, and it was an away game for Vanderbilt, so it wasn't like they were at home.
Right.
And whatever, however many few fans they had in that stadium, when she came out in the second half there to do the kickoff, you actually, those fans, actually, you heard them clapping and cheering. So they were just showing their appreciation for what was happening too, because they were there witnessing history. So,
right.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. And it's too bad that Vanderbilt has an awful offense, because it would have been cool to see her kick a field goal or get some extra points in there. But
exactly. When I saw her shut out, I was like, oh, man. I mean, I would have loved just, you know, three up there on the board, and knowing that it was her that kicked it, that would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been. It would have been cool to, you know, get to see her actually play, you know. It would be cool to actually see her, you know, actually get out there and do some kicking. And we got, you know, that one kickoff in the second half. But that was really about it. And hopefully, you know, I don't know if she'll be, you know, the kicker for the next week. You know, maybe next week we'll get to see her get one through the uprights. But
from what I saw in that practice video footage they had, she was making them right and left. So, it'll be nice to see her, you know, in the live action game situation, because of course in practice, you're not some, you know, they're not coached to, hey, go in there and try to block it, you know?
Right. Right. So,
but yeah, love to see it in the game situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, we'll just have to, you know, wait and see on that one, see what happens next. And, I guess that is a little bit of a cool thing, you know, a nice little thing to have, given everything else that's happened. We can, you know, just find something fun and good to talk about.
Right.
So, it is good. That's a good note, absolutely.
Everyone's looking for a little bit of heartwarming good news during 2020. And that's definitely one of them, so.
Yeah, I would say so. So, I think that's an excellent way to end our episode here. So, thank you very much for listening in, everyone. We had a great time talking about some Mando, doing some speculating about, you know, what's to come in the future. And, of course, rest in peace, Dave Prowse.
Yes.
And thankful for him to bring Vader to life on the screen, so. With that being said, y'all, we will sign off. I'm Tristan.
I'm Jeff.
And may the Force be with you.
Always.
Give the evacuation code signal.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
Life is about passions.
Thank you for sharing ours.
This has been the CantoCast.
May the Force be with you.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.